morning for a scripture reading, we move on to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at the first of the seven letters to the seven churches that Jesus appeared among back in chapter 1. There he referred to them as the seven lampstands. By the way, the seven lampstands is an image. It's an image of the menorah, which stood in the tabernacle and temple, and specifically in the holy place. So let me read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It was written to the church at Ephesus. I encourage you to look at the words of commendation, the words of condemnation, the counsel, and the challenge that was made to this church. By the way, our theme for this morning's message is No Love Lost. I read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. These are the words of Christ from among the lampstands. He commended Ephesus because outwardly they looked good, but he condemned them because they had lost their first love. The counsel was to repent, and the challenge was to overcome with the promise of the tree of life in their future. May we seek that first love experience with Jesus Christ.
I still don't know how the Lord does it, that we're talking about this first letter that has everything to do about love on Valentine's Day. I promise I'm not that smart to figure it out and plan this. It's very, very telling to me, at least. We've talked about what this book is about, who it's to, the church, you, ultimately. In such a time as this, I woke up this morning and just thinking about this idea that Scalia has died, Supreme Court Justice, the most conservative man on the court, and God is up on his throne going, you didn't see that one coming, did you? It's almost like he's playing chess, and he says, watch this move. And we say, Lord, I would not have done that. And he goes, I know. You would not have. Valentine's Day, what do you expect? The other day, I saw a poll. You realize 61% of us will give each other nothing. you know, after the years, it, people, Sonia and I do this all the time. What do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Valentine's Day? Sonia, please tell them what you tell me.
Nothing.
Thank you.
See,
yeah. Sonia loves flowers, but she doesn't want to see them in a vase. She, every once in a while, you know, she likes them when she gets them, but she generally likes to see them blooming. Of course, you're not going to see much of that this year, this time of year. But she doesn't want to see them in a vase. Look at me. Do I need chocolate? You know, just because I don't buy flowers doesn't mean I don't love her. Just because she doesn't buy me chocolate, I love chocolate, doesn't mean she doesn't love me. That old saying, no love lost, is actually a negative term. You know, like, I don't care for you. There's no love lost here. But on a positive term, just because the pattern changes doesn't mean the love has changed. To love, honor, cherish, the pattern can change. The pattern of your love can change. The intent must not. Your heart must not. Your devotion, commitment, willing to sacrifice must not. In fact, as the years go on, there may be less flowers and less chocolate. But it just seems to be that those people who are committed to each other seem to sacrifice just a little bit more. But Pastor Raymond, isn't Revelation telling us that our pattern shouldn't change? Return to your first love. Keep doing the same things over and over again. Return to the first thing that you were doing. So there's... I'm kind of confused. First of all, Jesus is walking around. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, to the literal angel, to the church in Ephesus, have John write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, that's Jesus, has the seven angels, has all the angels in his right hand, authority, who walks, that word there is he continually walks, keeps walking, he's walking, he's walking, he's walking. Wow! I mean, he is walking amongst us. He is continually walking. Or this stopped 2,000 years ago. No, it's ultimately to us and to the angel, to Ephesus, and to the church, all the church. Jesus continues to walk with his angels. And he's walking amongst us. And the first thing he wants to talk to us about, how's your doctrine? How's your doctrine? You got that heresy thing figured out? You got that baptism thing figured out? Amongst a bunch of Lutherans and Baptists? I love this church. I told you I'm an independent Nazarene Baptist gospel. I've been everywhere. I've been to a lot of places, and to come to a church where we got some Lutherans and we've got some Baptists and we've got some Pentecostal charismatics back there, and this is fantastic. A little bit of Nazarene thrown in. This is great. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to argue about baptism. Should you be baptized? Yes. Should you get committed? I'm not going to argue about how. We should be doing. The Lord wants to talk to us about love. I have this against you, he said to Ephesus, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. You're still confusing me, Raymond. I got to go back and do those works I began to do. Let me say something. That if I'm doing the works that I did when I first went to Philadelphia Church, I have not grown very much. So what does he mean? You don't bring me flowers anymore. Is that what he's saying? Aren't we supposed to mature and do better things? Greater things will you do because I go to the Father? I'm confused. Paul said, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up those immature things and did something different. I'm confused. What does he mean? Paul, don't you understand Jesus? Jesus, talk to Paul. Here Jesus is speaking in this first letter to the church. It's the beginning of the letters to the church. It's the beginning of the seven. The first letter. First in the Bible is very, very, very important. Firstborn, first letter, first love. It's very important. And before he goes on and talks about heresy and talks about the big mysteries to come, this is weird. I mean, Jesus has this great mysterious book and these things to tell us. And he's pausing here to talk about love? We better get it. We should understand this. This is the first letter, and it's about love. They left it. They abandoned it. The word is divorce. They left it. It's pretty tough imagery. So as we go through this, it's going to be very helpful for you and me to do two things. One, do I love the way I did? Go through and check your heart. You can check your actions, but it's what's behind the actions. Check your heart. Two, do we as a church love the way we did? Now, better for us maybe because we're merged and changed and so many different people. And you're still figuring me out, and I'm still figuring you out. So the better question then maybe is for us is, are we loving the way we should? And why? If I don't bring you flowers, or if I do bring you flowers, what's the motivation? The Lord is warning them, listen, no love, no mission. I will come and take your lampstand. This is frightening. No love, no mission. Let's just get this off, right off the right foot right now. We're going to talk about doctrine here pretty soon. No love, no mission. So let's work through this and see where we stand. There's several types of love the Bible talks about in Greek. You've heard of them. Eros, intimate, physical love. Philia, affectionate, regard, friendship. Some people call that brotherly love. That's probably not right. It's more of a friendship love. Agape, there's a fourth thing I want to talk about. It's mostly about family, between family members. But the third one we want to talk about is agape. Godly love. True brotherly love. You see, because it's God's love, light love coming through us to help us love the ungodly, each other, to our brothers and sisters. It's charity. It's God to man to God, man to man in the church. Man to woman to man in the church. It's sacrificial. The greatest of these is agape. Agape covers a multitude of sins. It's not just, see, we say love, well, here's your flowers and your donuts and your candy. No, it's agape covers a multitude of sins. It's sacrifice and brotherly charity. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not agape, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I make prophetic powers and understand all, or have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not agape, I am nothing. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a nothing. I am nothing if I don't have God's love. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned but have not agape, I gain nothing. I will get nothing. Remember that if we work with straw and stubble, it's gone. But love of Christ, I gain everything. Agape is patient and kind. Agape does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Agape bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Agape never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass. Tongues will pass. They will cease. Knowledge will pass. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, this is where Paul comes in. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, not with agape. I felt like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So now faith, hope, and agape abides these three things, but the greatest of these is agape. And then, it's interesting, in 14:1, right after that love chapter, he says, pursue agape and gifts. You see, there's a balance, and Jesus is going to bring the balance of talking about our doctrine and our truth and what we are doing, balanced with love. And he begins with love. When we went to DTS, DTS's motto is, teach truth, love well. I love that balance. I wish they would have. It doesn't sound as good, but I wish they would have said love well and teach truth. That's the balance. Do you have a balance? Do I? You look at your pastor and you make sure I have a balance. Or I gain nothing. The individual gifts is a very interesting thing. I look out here and I see all the gifts at work, most of them at work, but not one of you has them all. I don't have them all. We all get one, two, whatever. But we all must love. Isn't that interesting? If I look around here, I see love, but I see all the gifts kind of scattered. Isn't it interesting? We as a church must love, or we gain nothing. The gifts of service, mercy, faith, those really come out of a love and just a passion for God and other people. They've got to watch new people with those. You've got to watch your shortcomings of being too tender to be run over by somebody with their so-called truth. And then you've got the other side, the gifts of the teachers and those people who discern and judge. They want to discern right things, and I've got my shortcomings where I want to see right and truth. And then, but am I going to love? Am I going to have mercy? In other words, the flesh has a tendency to unbalance us. And we see that right off in Acts. The Jews, they want to come right in and just control the church. Control with the doctrine. And James comes down with that letter. Let's do this for out of love. I can plow snow with no love. I can teach with no love. I can preach with no love. I can give with no love. And it leads to nothing. My tendency as a preacher is to know right and wrong and be correct. I'm asking you to help me love. For the church, us as a whole, I hope all of us are beginning to see a mission for us in this community in particular of holding the line, towing the line, being a light as we go into this darkness, as the Scalias of the world die, as the church changes for the worse. We see, let's tow the line, let's have a good doctrine, a fine truth. And all along, we really need to be asking ourselves, do we love? I would submit to you that churches have a niche, and we're finding ours. All along, we need to find out if we're balanced in truth and love. We can have a great mission and a great message and fail. Ephesus is a very interesting place. You go in, and this is standing up on the bank behind this Ephesus. There's the main street, Market Street, basically. All the markets were down on that street. This is the Colosseum, held about 25,000 people. It was at the headways of the Caistor River and the Gulf of Aegean Sea. It was a hub. Hub for all armies and products, travelers going through there. It was a political seat, and therefore lots of religions. About 24 statues of different religions, different cults there, were found there. The biggest, of course, was Artemis, Diana, the Roman name. That's her temple. She was the goddess of hunt. Would allow them to gain favor in their hunts. If they were wrong, they could be killed. They were afraid of being killed by a sudden death by arrows, but it morphed. Her religion morphed into fertility, childbirth, sex. The temple there was, this is a facsimile, was about 4 times that of the Parthenon, one of the 7 wonders of the world. Acts 19, you remember, it was Demetrius the silversmith said when Paul was there preaching and he caused a riot, he said, there's danger not only that our trade may come to ruin, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may be even deposed from her magnificence. She whom all Asia and the world worship. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, the crowd yelled 2 times. Well, what? If she's so great, how could she come to ruin? She's going to be deposed by who? Paul set a great example there, 35 years prior to the writing of Revelation. He set a great example to the church of Ephesus. And Paul gave thanks to them in Ephesians 1:15. He thanked God for them. And then in Ephesians, Paul's letter to this church, some 35 years earlier, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts with faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in doctrine," In your works? No. He says to them, he warns them, he wishes for them, he prays for them, grounded in love. May have the strength to comprehend. Then it's the comprehension. If you're grounded in love, you're going to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. His last words to Timothy. Not there yet. His last words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 8-10. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is my doctrine," he says, "for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything," that's love, "for the sake of the elect." that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's interesting again this morning that Gary again for the second Sunday talked about Paul's love for his people, that he would give up his salvation if Israel could be saved. And I don't think he was just him on or out. He loved them. God's, verse 19 in the same chapter, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Doctrine. Then in 3:16, he goes on to say to Timothy, Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's doctrine. Do your best to come to me quickly. That's love. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Another pastor to Ephesus learned love. John. The writer of Revelation learned love. You remember it was him in Mark 9 who said, there's a guy over here who's casting out demons in your name, Lord. Let's stop him. And Jesus said no. It was he and others who in Mark 10 wanted to keep the children from coming to Jesus. Jesus said no. It was he in Mark 10 who tried to tell Bartimaeus, shut up. Remember, I used that word before. And that's what it was. You shut up and sit down. It was he and his brother James in Mark 10 who said, we want you to do something for us. Let us sit at your right hand. Give me power, give me the judge, give me the knowledge. And Jesus said, serve. He was called the Sons of Thunder. And yet, it was he, John, who Christ changed by love. He said it was the disciple whom Jesus loved. It was he who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistle of John, a very balanced epistles. In 1st John, he says, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus Christ is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. That's doctrine. That's good doctrine. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the thunder there. That's thunder. That's doctrine. But he also wrote, I'm not writing you a new command. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or a sister is still in the darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the light. This is John. And there is no cause for stumbling. Anyone who does not do what is right from God is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love his brother and sister. Whoever claims to love God but hates his brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have not, who they have seen, cannot love God. So what is the first love? What is first love? What is the first commandment? You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it. By the way, those love chapters, verses were out of the first epistle of John's. Preeminent epistle, his point was to love. Ultimately, we find that Ephesus only made it halfway. We find very certainly, somebody says, that the one danger of falling prey to cultism, they saw and avoided. 15 years after John's writing of Revelation, Ignatius wrote to Ephesus commending them for refusing to give home to heresy. And Jesus said, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles. Can I ask a question? How do you test an apostle? I mean, maybe with some simple questions, but you're testing those who claim to be apostles. You remember there were several that the Gospels say, Apollos and others. So there was, Apollos went through here, by the way. And so there's several of them, and they attested them and found them to not Apollos, but found others to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. And he's commending them, a very high condemnation, commendation. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place unless you repent. I can only use me as an example. You have to test your own heart and your own motivation. When I came into the church, yes, I wanted to be loved because I was from that experience and environment where there wasn't much. But I tell you what, I really liked those people, and I wanted to help, and I still don't know how. I was ignorant and dumb and just threw myself in there and wanted to be a part. That was my first love. I came to Wednesday nights and Sunday nights where everybody was gone, and me and Tim Albus and others, we would come up and our youth player would play the piano, and we sang songs to Christ, and then we would get in Ray Bergeson's car and go down the road. Have I lost that? Have I lost just wanting to help? Have I lost the idea that, listen, some of us and those out there are not free, and I want us to be free? Have I lost that? You hold me to account if I've lost it. You hold me to account. So let's apply it to us. We've tested our teaching. We have good teachers here, and we look at each other and we talk about baptism and some of those things, but in general, there's nothing wrong with our teaching that I see. In general, we have good works, good teaching. We get the things done we need around here. People working in the background, ladies stuff going back and forth, secret sister stuff. We've got the work thing going on. And I'm not saying we don't have a love thing, but that really is up to you to describe yourself. How are you loving? How are we loving? Where is our agape meter? Where is our meter? The importance of love. Showing love to God by showing love to others. Do we reach out to help? Do we give? Do we sacrifice? Do we gossip? Do we hurt others? Do we heal? Do we confront people who are not doing these things? Do we realize that we can work and work and work and have our light removed? So, a couple things to do. First, as Jesus says of himself, remember, again, that is ongoing. Keep remembering, therefore, where you have fallen, where you have, how much you loved, and how much you were loved by Christ himself. And just remember that. And I think that's part of this communion. I keep on remembering what Christ has done for me. I remember his love, and I remember my love and my need to love for others. Secondly, repent. And this is up to you. And I have to repent for myself. You have to repent for yourself. It starts with the leaders of this church. It starts with me. It starts with the leaders. A dear lady came into me to talk to me a couple weeks ago. She was upset with me. She honestly didn't know why. We soon found out. We said those things, so I thought. I talked to her recently. We're fine. It's those kinds of one-on-ones that it must take. It has to happen. One-on-one. To work through misunderstandings. And that's mostly what issues are. We have more than a dozen men who are leaders and not a few women who are leaders, and we're all human. And we all need to know each other. And I want to know every single one of you. I'm not. I don't want to pry. I don't want to know what kind of soda you got. I don't want to know those things that you want to keep from me. But I want to know you. In Ezekiel 34, this has struck me so hard that I have to incorporate it. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm going to take your lamp away. Now, he didn't say that. I'm incorporating that, but that's what this means. Listen. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so that you scattered them, because they had no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for wild animals. This is what the sovereign Lord says, I'm going to cleanse the shepherds and we'll hold them accountable. The Lord continues to walk amongst us. I want to invite each of you to confront murmuring. I want to invite each of you to stop gossip in its tracks. You've heard of the gossip mill? I want a gossip crusher. You have something against me? I would love to have you come to my office. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Proverbs 20:19. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives. They keep their lamp. But those who speak harshly will come to ruin. Lights out. Warn a diverse person once. Warn them twice, and then have nothing to do with them. Those are not my words. Let's be a gossip crusher. I don't know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard in this church, we have such a great mission ahead of us. We are living in the greatest time of our history. I know you've heard me say this again, but we have a vision to go forward. We have to go forward together. And I want to see what's on the other side. I want to go through this mission. I want to see this light up. I want to see it. I'm not saying that I want to see a 200 or 300 person church. That's up to the Lord. He has the numbers. But I want to see a strong group of people going through this time, standing up against heresy and being a light. And yet, the work is to guard ourselves and to confront others and love, sacrificially, say the hard things, do the hard work, and remember what the Lord has in store for us. It's an awesome picture of what God wants to do with the remnant in America. Lord, I repent. I lay down my heart to you and tell you in front of everybody here that in times past where I have not worked or I've worked for the wrong reason, I repent. I want you, Lord God, to change my heart. And while you've given us a great doctrine and have helped me understand, I pray, Lord God, that you hold my feet to your fire and the fire of these dear children, your friends. Help us, Lord God, to overcome what Satan is trying to do. I ask you with all my heart to forgive me and help us, each one, to love each other with a heart that is pure and open and very unafraid. We love you so very much, Lord, in Jesus' name.